Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Morning, sunshine. It's 8 o'clock. I didn't know if you'd ever wake up. Oh yeah, my body wakes me up with the sun. I guess I'm just really in tune with the universe. Set an alarm? No. The birds outside my window are a natural alarm clock. Is this what time you normally wake up? Wow. No, I haven't slept this late in years, but whatever works for you. I just find that I'm so much more productive in the morning. So far today, I have journaled, made it to the grocery store, ran a half marathon, pulled a small child out of a well she'd fallen in. Oh, and then I tidied up your room a little bit because it was a little messy.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Monday, January 23rd, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, is Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tass, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producers, J.D. and J.K., what's up, guys?
How y'all doing?
Hey.
What's up?
Hello. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, like the vid if you haven't. And subscribe if you haven't done that. Come on, by now, you got to subscribe to No Dunks. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, hats. What else? Shorts.
There's some shorts left over, yeah.
Yeah.
Could do a champion pair of shorts. It's going to get warm here pretty soon.
It's true.
Yeah.
We should start looking ahead to the spring and summer.
Get your wardrobe right, yeah. Let's see those calves, people.
Tickets are flying off the shelves for our No Dunks live show coming up in Salt Lake City over All-Star Weekend, Friday, February 17th at 8 p.m. local time at the Urban Lounge. The link to buy tickets is in the show notes, so click on that if you're going to be in the area there on Friday night in Salt Lake City and come hang with your boys. We're really excited to do a live show. It's been a long, long time. So, yeah. Thanks to everybody that's already got a ticket, because they're going quickly here. So, if you've been thinking about it, don't take too long, because there is a capacity. And I hope we get there.
It'd be nice to fill it.
Yeah.
It definitely would. But I am excited that there will be some people there.
Yeah, it is nice knowing how tickets have been purchased. So that's good. And after you're done with today's classic here, yeah, I'm already calling this one a classic because we have so much NBA content to talk about. Check out Matty O's brand new episode of Is This Good with comedy writer Sam Carlisle. A very, very funny man. We know him personally. And they get into a bunch of topics and debate whether or not they're good. I haven't listened to this yet. It just dropped this morning. It's up on YouTube. It's obviously available wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And I can't wait to dig into this one, Tass.
This is an absolute must listen for me.
Why is that?
Sam Carlisle.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
He's a very funny guy.
Especially, you know, Matty O and him, they go back a long time. JD, you're in on this podcast, I assume. So, you know, I hope it wasn't too insidey baseball between the two guys.
Insidey baseball. There's a photo of a man with a mustache in the 80s, I guess, right there. That Milwaukee Brewers.
Was that Robin Yount?
Raleigh Fingers.
Raleigh.
Oh, good.
Raleigh.
Oh, it's Raleigh. Yeah.
He looked different back then.
It was more inside hockey, to be honest.
Inside hockey?
Yeah.
All right.
Because they played hockey as kids.
Oh, yes.
We got
wow.
Yeah.
Was there a two-towel performance, though?
It was a two-towel performance from both those guys.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, you're going to enjoy it.
First thing I do when I leave the Classic Factory here, I've already downloaded the podcast. I will plug in my my cord into my phone.
Uh-huh.
Do I have it Bluetooth up? I find
cord?
It easier.
Bluetooth cord?
Yeah, I do. Because it charges it.
Man.
It charges your phone, which is nice.
It's like a 15-minute drive to your house.
Well, geez, you never know, right?
Bluetooth. Come on, bro.
Bluetooth.
Step your game up.
Fucking sucks.
Yes,
it doesn't work for whatever reason. 20% of the time, it just doesn't work. And no one knows why. It's the most infuriating thing. That chord, boom. I know it's working right away, and I can hear Sam Carlisle's voice talking to Matteo in seconds.
That's true.
We need that as a topic. Is this good? Bluetooth.
It is. It is. But you have to admit, for some reason, whatever the percentage is, it just decides not to link or work. It's perplexing. I've said this before, and I'm still angry about
it. Sometimes your Sam Carplay-Lyle doesn't work.
It's true.
But if you plug in, it always works.
Yeah, that's right.
We call it a plugger around our house. Just a plugger.
A plugger. Yeah, I didn't know what
to call it. It's fun to say it.
Yeah, give me the aux cord.
USB-C. That's what it's technically called.
Anyway, we'll be listening, all three of us, some of us on Bluetooth, some of us straight plugged in.
Different locations, same time.
In our cars driving home after this show. Check out Is This Good. Okay, winners of the NBA weekend, my lord. Tass, we're starting with
you. There's
a
lot of them.
Yeah, there are. And we'll get to losers later. We obviously have pick'em results from Friday. We got tweet at night. But yeah, winners of the NBA weekend. Tass, who's your big winner? Get us started.
The Lakers have survived this Anthony Davis injury pretty freaking well. Mm-hmm. It's surprising that they are 10-9 since Anthony Davis went down. A couple shocking wins this weekend. Let's start Sunday because that was the more shocking win against the Portland Trailblazers. They started up 18-4. And then in the second quarter, they only scored 13 points.
Right.
It was wild. The Blazers outscored them by 32 in the second quarter. That doesn't happen. A 32-point spread in the second quarter. The last time there was a bigger spread in a quarter was 86-87. That's almost 40 freaking years ago.
Holy.
Kevin Pelton doing the work on that one. Thanks for that research, Kevin Pelton. It started because Pat Bev talked crap to Damian Lillard, got a T for it, and then the Blazers went off. And apparently, Pat Bev did some more talking in the locker room because Lakers coach Darvin Ham said, "You guys figure this out." And he walked out. And Pat Beverly, along with others, got riled up. But Darvin Ham did do some coaching because he got everybody, including Dennis Schroeder and Pat Beverly, to face guard Damian Lillard in that third quarter. And it changed the game. The Lakers came back from a 25-point deficit. LeBron was going downhill. They didn't want to fight whatsoever. It looked like LeBronto out there in the third quarter. He was 6-for-6 at the rim. Mm. They tried everybody, but they just weren't fighting over screens. They were too Nasir Little out there. They tried Gary Payton out there. They could use Justice Winslow out there in this game. But anyway, the whole team was bad. But Thomas Bryant came through big time, and he was just following this energy. The Lakers have energy. The Lakers do not look like last year whatsoever. Good news here on the Anthony Davis front as well. He could be back this week. Could be back as early as these next two games, but most likely on January 28th to continue this momentum that they had going from Friday. So that was a blowout win on Sunday against the Blazers, astonishingly.
They were down 25. Yeah, they turned it into a blowout.
A blowout. Friday, I thought, would have been the more surprising win because they snapped the Grizzlies' 11-game win streak. They were down going into the fourth quarter. They're 1-22. I should say, when trailing going into the fourth, and they're down 3 minutes left in that game. They were still down with 10 seconds left, and then Dennis Schroeder with a nice steal on Desmond Bain as he had his back to Schroeder, the steal, and then he got fouled, a couple free throws. He had 19, 8-8, and three steals in that game. LeBron's getting close to Kareem. It's nice for LeBron. He had 37 against the Blazers. He can kind of slow down and pick the game that he wants before the before All-Star weekend because he can literally, sit out a couple games when Anthony Davis comes back if he wants and be able to pick it on national TV. But astonishing wins, Grizzlies, then the Blazers. But let's get to the juiciest part of all on Friday. What happened? On Friday, Shannon Sharpe, Hall of Fame football player, Shannon Sharpe, sitting courtside in his cardigan in the second quarter, starts talking trash to Dylan Brooks. Basically saying you can't guard LeBron James. So Dylan Brooks approaches Shannon Sharpe, yelling at him.
Yeah, and trash talking.
Yeah, and then Steven Adams comes over, the strongest man in the game, according to LeBron James. And John Morant comes over. Then T. Morant, John Morant's dad, comes over. There's like four guys yelling at Shannon Sharpe. This happened.
Yeah.
This actually happened. Now, nothing really materialized out of it. No punches were thrown or anything, but Shannon Sharpe got escorted out. He came back in the second half when the Lakers did come back. He is LeBron's boy and was just standing up for him. So it was the cardigan against the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies lost.
You got a small assist to Shannon Sharp. It got in their heads. Yeah. You're saying?
Well, I don't know.
Fired up the Lakers.
I don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened. but nothing. No punches thrown or anything. But a lot of bodies, a lot of security guards coming over. No fists thrown or anything. And that's it.
Then some crazy, sort of weird post-game comments.
Yeah.
Or mid-game comments, I guess, from Shannon Sharp. McMenamin getting the scoop during half with Sharp's thoughts. And then obviously we get a bunch of the guys talking about the game and the incident after, specifically Dylan Brooks, who we'll show you in a second what he was wearing. But first, Trey, your thoughts on this Sharp versus the Grizzlies incident? I mean, I didn't know if we should give it a winner of the weekend, a loser of the weekend. I put a poll up. I guess like 60% thought it was more of a loser of the weekend, but I thought it was hilarious. What do you think?
I lean towards winner. A little extra spiciness at a basketball game in the middle of January. Sometimes we need it. Also, people just hate the Memphis Grizzlies, man.
Yeah,
the Grizzlies are a big-time trash-talking team.
Yep.
We've had some success here with an Antonio Brown finger dance short. And it's like every third comment is like, win something. And then you can talk as much as you want to. Oh, this is going to be cringe when you're eliminated in the first round. Talking trash to the Grizzlies, it's a rite of passage in the NBA and apparently in the NFL as well. Because Shannon Sharp, Hall of Fame tight end and a Hall of Fame trash talker as well. T. Morant loves to mix it up. So I think it's just a little fun sideshow. I can see why people would be bugged about it, but made for a fun atmosphere, made for an awesome second half of the game. So, I don't know. If you liked when it was Spike Lee versus Reggie Miller, I don't see the problem when it's Shannon Sharp versus Ja Morant. Or, I guess, Shannon Sharp versus Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
It wasn't Shannon Sharp versus Steven Adams, I'll tell you that much. No. That's the one guy he didn't mention. Steven Adams gets a pass from everybody because nobody wants to mess with Steven Adams. I love it.
Yeah, even Ja Morant's dad, T. Morant, and Shannon Sharp, they squashed this whatever beef or whatever you want to call it right away. Like, I think this is in their DNA. They grew up in this. You trash talk and then you like hug and make up after, and they're already seen after or later in the game, I guess, hugging on the sidelines. But Dylan Brooks, let's show you what he was wearing after the game. He did call Shannon Sharp, who is like a Hall of Fame football player, he called him a blogger. He's now this is, we're showing everyone on YouTube that is joining us live or watching later. Dylan Brooks, when I first saw this, I didn't notice the jeans, and I thought it was the shirt that players sometimes wear under their jersey, and then you're like, no, he is wearing, a black, tank top.
Tank top,
he's
sure.
looking like, people said, like Kevin Nash from NWO, or Brock Lesnar, and he's got the jeans, he's got the little thumb in the pocket there. Now, my favorite comment was somebody pointed out that it looks like there's a snap at the bottom of this black tank top, like a bodysuit, and I can't unsee it now. I can't, because it's very tight.
It looks like a singlet, for sure. He's
and,
ready to go.
I was crying on that comment. So anyway, it really was the Brooks Sharps. That's what popped this off. And Brooks talks a lot of trash.
Yeah, and what? Shannon said that he told Dylan Brooks, you're too small to guard LeBron. Right. Dylan Brooks said, I just made a miss. I don't know. Do they play again this year? Do they play in LA against each other this year? I hadn't looked it up yet, but it would be exciting if they did. But I don't know, crazy look from Dylan Brooks. I have to assume he's putting a shirt on over top his undershirt.
I don't know, man.
I don't know how warm it was in L.A. over the weekend, but he was heating it up in there, calling Shannon Sharp a blogger.
Yes.
A pedestrian.
Yeah.
That was quite
a weird comment.
Just a pedestrian, similar to a civilian, saying he's just a guy out there, but pedestrian is a funny way to put it.
Yeah, great lines. Just a great line. A regular pedestrian like him, he shouldn't have ever come back in the game, but it's L.A.
Well, the people are pointing out maybe some hypocrisy here from Shannon Sharp, who I guess is on record on his own show talking about fans that are close, heckling players, and like, you can't say whatever you want, and they should be kicked out or maybe barred from games. And
I mean, he didn't
say anything.
Happen.
He did. He said, you're too small to guard him.
Right.
He didn't swear. He didn't curse at any point.
I mean,
doesn't sound
he
like
he did step to him, though. I mean, I know no punches were thrown.
Yeah, but
if
so
that's
did the Grizzlies,
Tass,
right?
Yeah,
That's
so
the thing.
Dylan.
The Grizzlies wouldn't respond to Tass.
Yeah.
They would respond to Shannon Sharp,
which
is why it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sure there are people saying way worse things than Shannon Sharp was saying to Dylan.
No cursing.
Didn't curse. Just talked about Who doesn't want smoke?
They play again February 28th. So right after All-Star Weekend, I guess, the week
after.
Yeah, yeah,
nice.
The following week after the break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Tuesday night.
Great.
That one's in Memphis.
Well,
so we should go.
There'll be some. Yeah, let's make the drive.
Fine, let's go.
But obviously, the Grizzlies don't like Shannon Sharpe. Another person that doesn't like Shannon Sharpe, his co-host on Fox.
Yeah.
I won't say his name, but because I have him muted. But I'm pretty sure that he didn't tweet a thing about Shannon Sharpe stepping to the Grizzlies.
Interesting.
Guys really hate each other. He hates Shannon Sharpe more than the Grizzlies hate Shannon Sharpe, I would say. So that was interesting to me. I'm sure they're talking about it this morning.
Well, they have to talk about the guy you would not like to name. His team lost, too. The Cowboys lost.
Right.
And I saw a stupid video of him trying to act upset where he throws a jersey in a garbage can. Never mind. Anyway. All right. The Lakers, a winner of the weekend, though. Like, to add to what you're saying, like, some crazy wins here.
Yep.
They need all of these wins, too, because, like, you know, the Suns are getting it going. The Wolves are getting it going. The Clippers are, like, have strung together some wins here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the OKC Thunder are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They got to, like, you got to stay close enough to some of these squads here when you get into, like, the play-in situation or even trying to get in the playoffs. So, good wins from the Lakers, and that's a whole lot of talk about Dylan Brooks' black tank top and Shannon Sharpe sitting courtside.
Yeah, you sent the picture. You said we're going to have Dylan Brooks in the show showing off his tank top, and I looked down and I realized I had on a black tank top tucked into a pair of jeans as well.
But that's a striper.
This guy's a striper.
That's got every pattern imaginable on his body today. Oh, there he is. That's what Trey sent this morning to the Slack. He's like, oh, damn, I'm wearing what Dylan Brooks is wearing.
I'm Brooksed up here.
I just looked down.
Is there
that
a snap at the
Beetlejuice
bottom of that?
Oh, Hey, Laura,
help me out. Can you snap me from behind? Oh, my God. Okay.
And Dylan call us the Brooks Brothers. Also, great trash talking. I got to say, while we're talking trash or talking about trash talkers.
Yeah.
Trash talking about trash talkers. Patrick Beverley, he was on his game trash talk-wise last night as well. After the deal was done, it looked like the Lakers had the victory. Walking back to the sideline, pointing at his watch.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with this thing? Oh, better take my watch off.
And put it away.
Put it in my shorts right here.
Put it
I
in
thought
the
that
pocket
was great,
like
man.
Dylan Brooks. Maybe that's what Dylan's
just
grabbing.
Thumbs in here. But I liked it. It's like Beverly and Dame have a long history of talking trash to each other. They were talking trash to each other in this game. Beverly played a really solid troll game, to be quite honest. He was all up in Lillard's space in the second half of this game. Instrumental in turning the game around. So hit him with a Dame time. My watch is broken. You never see a broken watch. Broken watch is still right twice a day.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Not last night. Only in the first half.
Okay. Yeah. Let's keep this moving here. We have so much
button
to
button up again.
To.
I'm looking ridiculous.
Well, while you button up, who's your big winner of the weekend? You got to multitask here.
Yeah, okay. Let me get very businessy here. Kyrie Irving. The version of him leading the Nets off to a tough start. They lost their first four. Did not look very inspiring. Definitely a different story over the weekend. Wins over the Jazz and Warriors, both technically sub-500 teams at this point, but we're going to call these good wins. And a little bit of a pattern here. Kyrie plays a solid game through three quarters, takeover mode in the fourth. He had 48 against the Jazz. 21 of those came in the fourth quarter. 38 against the Warriors. 12 in the fourth last night. If you want to go back to the loss against Phoenix last week, he had 21 in the fourth quarter of that one as well. But against the Warriors, it wasn't just scoring. Golden State, no matchup for Kyrie in the fourth quarter, certainly. They tried everybody on him. Didn't matter if it was DiVincenzo or Clay or Kuminga. Curry had a chance. Did not matter. They doubled him at one point. But Kyrie was making the right play out there. Had four assists in the fourth quarter, including one to Royce O'Neal to put the Nets up two against the Warriors. The biggest shot of the game. You're not getting the all-around brilliance that you get from Kevin Durant when it's Kyrie Irving as your leader, but he is doing the little things, I think. Season high in rebounds, 11 against the Jazz. Season high in assists, 9 against the Warriors. He's been taking charges. He's giving an effort, at least defensively. And it's at least a way that Brooklyn can survive until Kevin Durant is back, play solid enough defense. Like, these weren't incredible defensive games for Brooklyn, but they didn't get blown out either. And then Kyrie does whatever he can in the fourth quarter. He was awesome in both of these games. unstoppable right now. A worthy all-star starter. And, you know, a couple of wins, 86 points I think he scored in a couple of nights. That's good stuff for a Brooklyn team that took a hit once KD went down.
Yeah. Any thoughts there on Kyrie and the Nets?
Well, it's astonishing that he has been able to lift this team up since Kevin Durant went down. It looked bad at first, but Kyrie, the fourth quarter scoring is real. He was suspended earlier this season by his own team, and he's still second in fourth quarter points this season in the entire NBA. LeBron is number one, despite being out so many games. That's surprising to me, but he is a little bit like the Lakers, just kept coming this weekend. They could have easily folded against the Warriors. They were down 35 seconds left. That Curry shot that went in and out, that could have been the dagger for the Warriors on that side. And then Royce O'Neal comes up and hits a big three from Kyrie to put that game away for the Nets. So they keep fighting, despite being down, despite being extremely shorthanded, despite the Warriors going to hack a clax, hacking Nick Claxton because he can't shoot free throws.
Remember, I talked about that being a possible issue come the playoff time with Claxton and Ben Simmons out there, and we saw a little bit of it. Yeah, he did okay.
He did all right.
Yep. They only played one game over the weekend, but I'd like to give the Sixers a winner of the weekend because they wrapped up their longest road trip of the season on Saturday with a 21-point comeback against one of the hottest teams in the league in the Sacramento Kings. Philly beat them 129-127, completed a perfect 5-0 road trip, and there was no Embiid and Harden in this game, resting because of foot injuries, though some said also football reasons, because the playoffs were on this weekend. No idea if that's true or not, but Tyrese Maxey, he stepped up. He scored 32 points against the Kings. He was awesome in the second half. 7 assists, 6 boards, did a little bit of everything. And the 76ers here, they started 12-12, 500 team. Everyone's like, uh-oh, Doc's not going to be here long. What's going on? They're 18-4 since then. They've won 9 of their first 11 games here in January, so hot in the new year. And they're a full game clear of the Bucks and Nets for second place right now in the Eastern Conference, still a decent chunk behind the Celtics. But yeah, that was an impressive win to end a road trip when they're down that much. You're missing your two star players. They could have rolled over and died, and they did the opposite. To pull that off, I thought was pretty impressive, and shows the depth of that team and Maxey being able to be slotted in as like the go to guy on a team. Like, what a luxury when you're missing your two, your MVP candidate, your borderline all-star guy there in Harden, and then they're out, and Maxey does the rest. That was a hell of a victory.
32 points for Maxey. Looked good with D'Anthony Melton. They're just a fast combo, so if you're going in expecting the 76ers to be plotting, and then suddenly you're seeing Maxey in the starting lineup alongside Melton, it's going to be a different sort of game. 6 players in double digits for the Sixers. Like you said, 18-4 in their last 22. They've been, there was a lot of focus on Brooklyn for a while when they went on their big win streak, but the 76ers have been the second best and team in the Eastern Conference over this middle second quarter of the NBA season.
Yeah.
But they're kind of flying underneath the radar. Maxey, awesome job coming off the bench when he came back from injury. But like you're saying, it's so nice to be able to slot him into the number one guy, and then 32 points on 29 shots. Not great percentages, but they needed somebody to shoot all those times, and he handled it.
What was going on yesterday, or really this entire weekend, with the NBA games? Like, the comebacks were insane. Like, yesterday alone, Suns, either comebacks to make it close or comebacks to pull out the victory. The Suns had a 29-point lead early in the third, and they just held on to beat the Grizzlies. That was like a one-possession game. The Heat trailed by 16. They came back to win, to beat the Pels. The Warriors, we talked about, they had a big double-digit lead late and blew that again midway through the fourth to the Nets. The Knicks overcame a 17-point deficit to make it a very close game to the Raptors. Lakers down 25 at the half, and then this one here down 21. The Sixers were. I mean, that just yesterday. There were a couple other ones there from Friday and Saturday. These halves, I mean, these leads, they're fake. They don't mean anything.
They're so fake, man. I mean, when you look at a 10-point lead, you're like, that looks big. That looks sizable there. It's 3 possessions. It's 3 possessions, and you're back in the game. So
20-point leads now to, like, a decade ago, that was like, this game's a wrap. Like, a 1 out of 1 million chance this team will come back. Now, it's like more likely than not you'll have a close game. Like, you can't be leaving these arenas early at all anymore. I don't care how much time is left.
It's changed. It has changed. And I think the January blues, the January leads, I don't know. There's something about January here. It's kind
of
like
one of the weirdest months of the season, for sure.
Yeah, I think the Brooks Brothers could write a song about it. You and Dylan could write a song about it. You can kill it.
There's something about the big leads, big comebacks in January. Okay, I'm not the songwriter, but there's something there.
Okay, like this lead up towards the All-Star break.
This
here.
Is the dead zone. People say the March zone.
I was going to say
the dead zone because everybody's watching NCAA. We already know what these NBA teams are going into the postseason. We're just waiting for the postseason.
There's two dead zones.
There's two dead zones.
This one, and then there is that one around March Madness, I think.
You could write a couple songs.
We'll get Garth. We'll get Dylan. We got Trey Brooks over
Dylan,
here.
Dylan, that's a good country name, too.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks sounds like a country name.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even with all that stuff going on with him, again, I've said it for years. This guy does not feel Canadian to me. He's not Canadian. We got to check the passport. I'm sure this is a lie. All right, Tess, let's keep it going. Another round. Quick round here of winners of the weekend.
Evan Mobley, a career-high 38 versus the Bucks, without a made free throw and without a made three.
Wow.
That is wild. That doesn't happen very often. Get your thinking caps on. Maybe a couple players who have done that in the past. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I think Evan Mobley just has been overlooked as a sophomore in general because other sophomores are getting more opportunities while his have been lessened because he's playing with Donovan Mitchell. He's playing with Darius Garland, but he's staying at the same numbers, so no one's talking about that. But he's getting more efficient within his opportunities. He's just getting better at being a secondary career. He's getting so good at relocating. He's a master at it, which obviously goes really well with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland handling the ball. But he's got his own game too against the Bucks. The turnaround shots, the fades, the hooks. He was going right at Brook Lopez. He had no problem going at him, ferociously going to the rim. And he was shooting all around the paint. 27 shots. 25 of those 27 shots were in the paint or just outside it. Just two threes attempted. So he's 19 of 27 in this game. Shot only one free throw. He missed it. He shot those two threes. He missed it. There have only been three other NBA players since the three-pointer was adopted that have scored 38 or more without a free throw or a three-pointer made. So three players.
Shaq?
No, not Shaq. I guess he hit free throws.
I thought maybe he'd miss a...
So
Giannis?
No.
Tony Delk.
No. Great guess. Yeah. But no, these are three Hall of Famers. One center, two wings.
Oh, wow.
And
Dominique
we're
Wilkins?
Going back. Good guess. Probably a guy you'd compare to Dominique earlier. Won a scoring title
George
in the 80s. Gervin did it. But that wasn't even the guy I was thinking of, but Gervin is very comparable.
Adrian Dantley?
No.
Alex English,
yeah. And then a center later. Hall of Famer. One of the greatest ever.
Patrick Ewing?
No.
David Robinson?
No, but you're there.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Nice. Yeah. So anyways.
It's all about which order you
can watch Hakeem Olajuwon's first game on the NBA YouTube page right now.
Oh, because he just turned 60.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I fired it up.
Nice.
Like a weird sicko I am. Watching a bunch of it. Man, I was like,
is he good?
Yeah, well, and Samson's out there too. You're like, oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Good trivia.
That's it. Mobley. Kicked ass. Rookie of the year runner up being overlooked.
TK, who you got for another winner of the weekend?
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
New season high, 44 points, dragging Minnesota to a win over the Rockets. He made 8 threes, added 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, and 2 gargantuan dunks on my guy, Alperen Şengün.
Oh, man.
Two-hander in the first half. Basically jumped from the dotted line. Incredible extension. Apparently he told KJ Martin at halftime that he was going to dunk on Şengün again in the second half if Şengün kept playing this low drop defense. So guess what? He did it. Big one-hander on Şengün in the second half of this game. It seemed to me Anthony Edwards preferred the one-hander. He said he jumped higher on that one.
Which I think he did.
He definitely did. Yeah. It looked like he jumped farther with the two-hander.
Yeah.
What y'all think? Two-hander or one-hander?
Anthony Edwards.
Which one we liked more?
His signature dunk is the one-hander, like what he did to Yuta Watanabe.
Yeah.
You know, lean forward, jam in your face.
Jamming.
But the two-hander is
it's
so...
It's more rare.
It's rare.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
And it felt like it was more vicious in a way.
I agree.
Right? The way Şengün sort of collapsed a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of body-to-body contact on that one. The thing with a two-handed dunk is that it's not a moving target. With a one-hander, like, he pulls it way back, moves it to the side.
Yep.
Two-hander, you got to go straight through a guy. So he did.
Yep.
The highlights were awesome. There's also one where he rips Jalen Green at half court, goes in for a layup, and you can hear him on the microphone on the net saying, "Cookie!" Very cool, but most important, the Timberwolves won. Because of Anthony Edwards. He went 17 for 29, 8 of 16 from 3. The rest of the team shot 38% from the field, 36% from 3. Minnesota has lost games to the Hornets, 2 against the Pistons, 2 against the Trailblazers, 2 against the Spurs.
Wow.
This is a game they lose all the time, and they would have lost if it wasn't for Anthony Edwards going next level. He's making a late All-Star push. I don't necessarily know if he'll get there. In the first batch, who knows what happens with injury replacements as time comes.
Yep.
But at the very least, this was a win that Minnesota absolutely needed, and he got it for them.
They are moving up standings. They are a little bit more respectable. And yes, the teams that they've lost to.
A lot of bad teams.
So this was a game that... Yeah,
this would have been really bad. Because the Rockets are the worst
the
team
worst
by a
team.
Mile. Yes. And Steven Silas, still a head coach as of Monday morning here. For the Houston Rockets. We thought he may not survive the weekend. He's still there.
He's still there.
7-3 in their last 10.
The Wolves,
yes. Yes.
I was going to say the Rockets.
Not the Rockets.
Have they lost 13 in a row?
0-10 in their last 10. Lost 13 in a row.
13, yeah.
Yikes. Okay, a quick winner of the weekend here before we take our first break. To me going down to the Fortress to see some live NBA basketball, Knicks Hawks. I like when we do Tales from the Fortress here on the show.
Yeah.
But I got a high-scoring affair on Friday night. I don't know how much you guys caught of this one. The Hawks ended up winning 139-124 in regulation. At one point in this game, the Knicks were, I believe, trailing. This is like sort of deep into the second quarter. They were trailing, and they were shooting 80%. It was insane. Not a lot of defense was being played. Scoring was so contagious, I saw with my own eyes. I actually called it. I said, I like this guy. This guy, I like this guy's quiet confidence. He's going to hit this. A guy hit a half-court shot.
Mm-hmm.
10K right there. And I knew he was going to hit it because I asked him before he took the shot, what are you going to do if you win this money? He goes, I'm going to save half of it and invest the other half. And I was like, all right, respect. Stepped up, boom, splash. Like, perfectly shot, half-court shot, goes in. Everybody's loving it. And my only other note from the game itself was... They do the swag surf.
Yep.
There in the crowd. They obviously tell everybody that works in the arena that they also have to do it. Because I saw all like the, you know, the people that are like check your tickets and like in arena staff, like they all have to get in on it. I don't think it works in Atlanta. Atlanta's cool enough as it is. This is forced trying to be cool, and it's not. It's really not.
You're a swag surfing hater.
I don't like it. They changed the
lighting
to blue.
Oh, you just don't like it overall.
I just don't like it in Atlanta. They don't need, like, it doesn't, something about it, the vibe's off.
Wow.
Yeah. And not a lot of people are doing it. No one was really caring. It's got to go. Get rid of it, Atlanta. You don't need it. But anyway, the Hawks got the win. And it was a fun game, man. Like, I didn't really care who's going to win it. So you just want a ton of scoring. And it was like, everybody was lights out. Like, DeJounte Murray was money. He would get to the free throw line. He had that little push shot going all night long. RJ Barrett started hot. He couldn't miss.
No Mitch.
Randall was huge.
No Mitchell Robinson.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
It is indeed. I've told you all season they need this guy. They have no defense right now, the Knicks, without him. But we'll get that in Loser of the Weekend. But fun game, man. NBA basketball live on a Friday night in the social. I was in the social club. You ever sat there? The one where it's like they're almost like I'm almost like in a couch. I'm sitting in a couch.
Yeah, I think I sat there with you one time.
Yeah, we did a long time ago.
We saw the Bucks or something.
Yeah, we did.
I thought we saw a season opener.
That could be. Yeah,
we went with our wives once. We sat there.
Yeah, we went with our wives.
Yeah, in the social club.
Cool, guys.
Two wives.
It's great. I mean, you're pretty high up.
Two couches.
Like, you're not low.
Two couches, maybe.
But it is convenient, like, to pop out, get a drink, get food.
Maybe that's why you didn't like the swag surf. You can't really swag surf on a couch.
Yeah. Well, it's easier. I can put my arms around the guys on the couch with me. Like, I had no divider between me and Jared and Whaley there.
No wives?
No wives.
No wives club?
No wives. But anyway. Tales from the Fortress. Let's take our first break. When we come back, losers of the NBA weekend. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
My Stitch Fix stuff just arrived over the weekend.
Congrats.
I've yet to try it on, but I'm pretty excited about these new pants that came in the box. Talk about a pattern on a pant.
You got a pattern pant?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Hopefully, I got to try them on. We'll see if they fit. But if they don't, I'm just send them back.
Send them right back.
Get them in the right size. We'll see.
Will they go with Trey's pattern shirt?
No. That might be nicely. I couldn't pull that off. Only this guy. This guy can wear anything.
You can do it, man.
I couldn't. I just couldn't. I'm looking at it. Looks good on you, but... Not on me. I'll tell you right now. Tess, maybe? I feel like you used to have a shirt. Yeah, not that crazy.
Yours was like gray, stripedy.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
like Shannon Sharpe's sweater, to be quite honest
with
you.
The cardigan.
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a classic shirt, man.
I thought you were talking about the...
Top 5 most classic shirt.
Top 5 most classic shirt. I thought you were talking about the shirt. We had the exact same shirt back in the starters days, which were... It was like a half and half. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I will also say, though, a sweater showed up in my Stitch Fix gear that, like... is almost exactly like the infamous Botter Street sweater.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I bought this in 15 years ago. How is it back in my life?
That's how good they are, man.
I know they know.
Like, okay. You're like, shawl collar sweaters. Got you.
I don't know if it's going to be staying. I'll try it on.
Shawl collar?
I
got
to be in the
is
right mood
called?
To try on
That's
clothes.
I would call it. Probably, yeah.
I had to try on clothes right after I shower, too. I don't like trying on clothes... Just like midday. I know, it's weird. I don't know. Something
midday.
About it. I gotta be showered, fresh, and then try the clothes on.
Honestly, I bet Stitch Fix likes it that way.
Of course.
That way, the stuff you're sending back, they're like, this smells better than when we sent it. This is awesome.
I don't know. It's a little weird thing about me. Okay. Losers of the NBA weekend. Tass, who you got? Or what do you got?
I got Serge Ibaka.
What?
You remember him? The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to find Serge a new home before the trade deadline. Ever since Giannis Antetokounmpo picked up the phone when Serge and Jrue Holiday called him on their show, you remember that? And Giannis said, you're a role player. You're a rebounder. Screen setter. That's it. That's been the end of Serge Ibaka in Milwaukee.
Right.
That's it. He's done in Milwaukee. Now he's a backup. He hasn't played in weeks.
I was going to say.
But this is a team that could win a championship.
Yeah.
Where is Serge going to go where he has a better opportunity to win a championship? Boston ain't taking him.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. These are the Milwaukee Bucks here. Now, this could all blow up in my face. He could go to the Denver Nuggets just because they lack a little depth. DeAndre Jordan is their backup center. Hmm. He could literally take minutes from DeAndre Jordan. Maybe there's a chance there. Because when he plays, it's not like he's immobile. He looks fine, but he's just not playing with Brooke, Giannis, and Bobby Portis there in Milwaukee. Just ain't going to happen. So I call him a loser, but it could end up being a winner. Again, because he's on the Bucks, this could be his second championship, but he would likely not participate all that much. So just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Because we are 17 days from the trade deadline, getting closer, and Serge will likely be on the move for the second straight trade deadline. He was moved last year from the Clippers in that four-way deal, I guess it was, what ended up being a four-way deal with Dante DiVincenzo leaving Milwaukee and
Marvin Bagley leaving the Kings. A lot of stuff happening in that trade. But,
well, there's rumors that the Clippers might be interested in getting Ibaka back.
Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. They need a big.
Yeah, but Nuggets, we've talked about before, they definitely could use some help, maybe. Some spot minutes.
Yeah, there was from a big guy.
He's only 33 years old. No, Serge Ibaka. Feels like he's closer
around
to 40.
A long time, yeah,
I can't believe he's only 33 years old.
Yeah, he came in with the young guns and with the Thunder, so it feels like he's been around for a long time. You know, he was part of the four-way with Harden, Durant, and Westbrook, where they had to decide Harden or Ibaka, and they chose Ibaka, really. They traded away Harden. But, yeah, he's been around forever. We've talked about DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins got a workout, I guess, with the Lakers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Would make sense as a backup with the Nuggets. But these guys, they're in the same boat. I bring up Cousins because him and Ibaka are in the same boat. Backup somewhere.
So we have now at least two guys, in theory, that should be moved before the deadline. Jay Crowder on the Phoenix Suns. That should happen because he's not playing for them. And then I guess now add Ibaka to the list here of a guy that's not playing who they've agreed that will be moved for whatever.
You think people will give something up for Ibaka?
That's true.
Probably not. I think he's going to be a buyout guy. But yeah, you're right. He can still join up with a team like Denver, Dallas, Clippers, Lakers. Like, there are teams that could use a big guy. I don't necessarily know that you're trading anything for Owen Ibaka.
Right. Yeah, you can take Wenyan Gabriel's minutes, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. Who do you got for a loser of the weekend, TK?
I feel bad. Cavs got a nice win on Saturday against the Bucks. Huge Evan Mobley game. But unfortunately, their fans get loser of the weekend because Cavs fans unfortunately had two schedule losses this weekend. On Friday, the Warriors rested Steph, Klay, and Draymond a night after their big-time loss against the Boston Celtics. On Saturday, no Chris Middleton for the Bucks, obviously. Also, Giannis set out his fifth straight game, resting his knee. Throw in Donovan Mitchell missing both of these games with a groin strain, and some shorthanded teams were coming to Cleveland. The Bucks one was tough. Giannis and Chris Middleton have both been out for a minute. Yeah. Injuries happen. But the bigger concern was the Warriors rest fest on Friday. It's the only time they come to Cleveland. Fans want to see the dynasty stars. And it's understandable that these guys sat. I think they all played over 40 minutes a game in the overtime one against Boston. It's the smart thing to do. But the problem is that the league is putting the Warriors in a position where they got to rest these guys in a game like that, which is why Steve Kerr said afterwards, "I feel terrible for fans who buy tickets expecting to see someone play, and they don't get to see that person play. It's a brutal part of the business. It's why I'm going to continue to advocate for 72-game seasons." Obviously, we'll never go back to players playing 82 games in a season at 40 minutes a game, but there's got to be something that changes because we've got now Steve Kerr coming out and saying, "We're playing too many games." Stan Van Gundy just had his back and forth with Kevin Durant, both of them admitting we have all of this science and all of this healthcare stuff, and players are now missing too many games. A shortened season definitely helps. Teams play between 12 and 15 back-to-backs. You cut out 10 games, you're almost done with back-to-backs right there. But you could also use something in like contract language. If you play X percent of games, you get X percent of your contract. Messaging from the league would help. We went and saw Toronto FC play against Liverpool a long time ago. Liverpool played none of their guys. Nobody expected their stars to play. So maybe something could change from the league there where it's more of a team marketing thing rather than a player marketing thing. Come see the Warriors rather than come see Steph Curry.
Right, right, right.
You could use some sort of dynamic pricing or refund model, which is something that they try. And a little bit more awareness from the league, honestly. Like, don't schedule an interconference game on the second night of a back-to-back. Mm. You could have the Warriors play any other night except for a night after they play a game and then have to travel. It doesn't make sense. Nikola Jokic has missed six games. Embiid, 12. Luka, 5. Tatum, 3. Giannis, 11. KD, 7 and counting. Ja, 7. Big names miss 10 games a season at this point. It's an inevitability, so the league either needs to educate people about why players are missing games so often, or they got to do something to remedy the problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what it is, but if you've got players, coaches, and the media all saying we need a shorter season, it might be time.
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time. I don't know the answer either. It doesn't seem like there's a clear-cut answer because even if the back-to-backs are gone, like you brought that one up, they're still going to sit out games. There's still the schedule is still going to say, the science is still going to say, we're going to sit this one out to rest. Period.
And it's not it's almost 99% of the time, it's really not the players going, "Hey, I would really like to rest this game." It is the team saying, our research, our data, blah, 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 say, we want you to sit. I just think, I just always want to make that very clear. in most cases, almost all cases, it's not the star players or whatever players saying, I don't want to play in Cleveland tonight. I'm tired. It's not. It's the team literally saying, we're shutting you down. You're not playing tonight because X, Y, Z. But, yeah. I don't know. You don't think a 72-game season really fixes anything? I mean, the back-to-back, like Trey says, you remove that.
Yeah.
If that's their go-to, like, concern, which is a fair concern, we don't want them to play 80 minutes over a 48-hour window, then get rid of it.
No, 72 is different to me than eliminating back-to-backs. You could have 82 games and have no back-to-backs. I think people sit. But eliminating the number of games, so each game means a little bit more.
Yeah.
That does make sense. I think that does help. But you just see guys maybe in their early 20s, like Giannis Antetokounmpo was always a guy who played a ton of games, battled through it. But now they know. I mean, if you got anything wobbly, like the guys you bring up, like Embiid, they do need some rest. Giannis here could be playing through it, I'm sure, at times. But the stars are just going to know their bodies. And the organizations, you know, they team up with them and they say, hey, they force them to sit. And in the long run, it's good for the players.
But it's not good for the product.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Especially in a case like this, like you're saying, where the Warriors are only coming to town once. Like Cleveland fans are like, you're not seeing Steph Curry. And I think that's a great point you made where the league, they promote that game as Steph Curry coming to town. It isn't really the Warriors. It's all, I mean, every little broadcast you see or wherever time they like pitch to a game, it's star player versus star player. They always, that's how the league, I mean, that's how it really was formed and took off when we're talking Magic and MJ and Bird and all that. But
that ain't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why the league is so popular, right? How many times has Steve Kerr had to apologize over the years?
A lot.
It happens a lot.
Good point. All right, I got some losers of the weekend here. The Blazers, we talked about the Lakers coming back on them. They were up 71-46 at halftime last night. And they got outscored 45-13 in that quarter, like you said, there in the second quarter. And they gave it all back in about 16 minutes. That lead was gone. Yeah. And then it was a game, and they sort of got blown out at the end. They've lost three in a row, Portland has. 8 of their last 10. They're 21-25. I mean, this is bad. And over this stretch here in the month of January, since the new year, they're averaging close to 16 turnovers per game. They're not helping themselves at all. That ranks near the bottom of the league. Like, they're tied with the Rockets over that stretch in January at just coughing over the ball. So that's bad, bad, bad. I know I was high on the Blazers. Coming into the season, I thought people were underestimating them a little bit. I thought the defense was going to be a bit better. It sort of is. But the offense hasn't, like, impressed all that much. And they're low here in the standings. I know 1 or 2 weeks can get you right back in it, but it's not looking good for the Portland Trailblazers at 21-25, TK.
The only good thing for the Portland Trailblazers is that they will likely keep their pick coming up this draft. Mm. It goes to the Bulls, but it's top 14 protected. Yeah, right. A losing streak is good for them to keep their draft assets around, but it's kind of hard to figure out how that would get better this season. It's going to have to be Dame carrying them to wins, and he's not always able to carry them to wins because they really can't get stops defensively. Why wasn't Nurkic playing down the stretch last night? I saw it was Drew Eubanks, 6 blocks for my guy. But also Thomas Bryant had 16,000 dunks, so I don't know if it's a win-win there. But it's going to be impossible for them to play defense with two small guards on the perimeter and Nurkic in the middle. It's the same recipe they've had for the past few seasons and the same results.
Sure seems like Simons would be the guy to go because he'd garner you a lot back in a trade.
They just signed him, right?
Yeah.
Yep. 4 for $100 million, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just to change it up, but yeah, tough sledding because the defense could be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have enough defenders, but they do lack size overall.
The Knicks got to get a loser of the weekend. I did try telling anyone that would listen that they are not great when they lose their rim-protecting defensive big man there in Mitchell Robinson. And then we found out, oh my God, he had the fractured thumb, surgery, 3 weeks at least he's going to be out. He was playing the best basketball of his career. I think that's overlooked a little bit. You know, monster on the offensive glass. Obviously, is a presence back there. He was guarding with discipline. He wasn't fouling out of every second game. You know, he was playing, and he's out now, and you just see the Knicks' defense like sort of fall off a cliff. They've lost 4 straight games, 3 to opponents with losing records. This was supposed to be the soft spot in the Knicks' schedule. Like, this was supposed to be like, ooh, okay, they can rack up some more W's here. Then it gets really tough. Ugh, man, this is that Robinson loss is bad timing for them, and They missed their guy, who's their net, their leader in net rating, like by a +8. He's very, very important. Now, they went 4-4 when he missed time early in the season, so that's decent, but they have, you know, plans to be better than that. So, I don't know, you know, Sims, Hartenstein, they got their chances. I know Tibbs went with Sims as the starter and Hartenstein off the bench and all that, but I don't think it really matters. I think Mitchell Robinson is just so important to how they play. And we'll see if they can turn it around.
Yeah, the Raptors on the second half of that next weekend were just doing whatever they wanted without Mitchell Robinson in the lane. He's huge. He has been phenomenal. He's been really, really good. And he's out past the All-Star break,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I
it's
think
gonna
so.
It's going to be a while.
Broken thumb, fractured thumb, whatever it is, having that surgery. Final loser of the weekend. I hate to do it to you, but JD.
Oof.
Yep. Loser of the weekend. On Friday's Drop podcast, you accused Bulls radio broadcaster Chuck Swirsky of getting preferential treatment at the Louvre.
Yeah.
At the museum in Paris when they were there for the NBA Paris game. And, you know, we showed this on Friday's Drop podcast. Chuck took a selfie with the Mona Lisa. And JD, you went off.
I did.
You were furious. You're like,
I did.
That guy, he, you know, they closed that area down for maybe him or the Bulls personnel, and he got that. Yeah. And like, and I said, I'm going to find out. I don't believe Chuck Swirsky did. I tweeted with him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I went by myself.
Yeah.
Waited in line just like everybody else. Got my selfie with the Mona Lisa. Yeah. And you said, wow, I didn't see this.
I apologized to him immediately.
Good for you.
Immediately. And I'm looking up recipes to eat my hat. Which I said I would do.
Yeah, you did say you would eat a hat.
So researching. I mean, what can I say? I made an assumption, made an ass out of me. How's it go?
I made an ass out of you and me.
So, Chuck, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chuck. Well, hold on. Chuck, I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have made that assumption. And you know what? Respect to Chuck for waiting. Like, being my man of the people. I was still annoyed that a portion of the Louvre was cut off because I suspected there was some sort of fucking VIP thing going through.
When I went in late December.
I was there on New Year's Eve.
Right. See, that's the thing that we failed to really acknowledge is that the lineups were way shorter, I would say, when Chuck went.
I would say. It was a Wednesday afternoon.
That's great. It's great going anywhere now.
Don't make me have to tweet and ask Chuck Swirsky how long.
No.
Okay? I waited in line to take the selfie.
Listen, the guy who probably waited in line to get into the Louvre, he's a lover of history and a lover of art.
Yeah.
And I underestimated him. And for that, Chuck, I am sorry. Truly sorry. And Skeets, thank you for making me a mini loser when really I should have been top headline loser of the weekend. And now I have to eat a hat.
Yeah, you got to eat a hat. I'm excited to see that. We did say, I remember on the Drop podcast, like, we'll find out and whether or not you're wrong or right on the next Drop podcast, but you won't be here on Friday. So we had to get it in here.
Yeah, that's fine. And, you know, I'd rather be a loser of the weekend than worst of the week.
Wow.
So
is that the hierarchy? I guess you're right.
I think so.
You're still in the running. You're still in the running for Friday. Oh,
I apologize.
Okay.
How many times have you seen the Mona Lisa?
Four times from a distance. But I've never seen it up close like Chuck. Look at this.
He was right there. I mean, I think he waited 90 minutes. That's my guess.
I would guess. Around an hour. Around an hour to 90 minutes.
Somebody took that photo of him.
Yeah.
Dude, that's not a selfie. I mean.
Bill Wennington, probably.
Maybe.
That was my guess, but I didn't see any pictures of Bill Wennington walking around Paris. Mm. Maybe he doesn't have an international data plan, though.
Pretty good self.
this picture actually reminds me of you and Eshwa back there. One face close, one face in the background.
Just watch his eyes. No matter where you go, it's following you.
Yeah. All right. So, any other losers of the weekend that you guys wanted to slip in? Any other teams? Any other performances? Anything else? I know the stream team will be chiming in, winners and losers that we missed. There was so much you'd pick from, it felt like, this weekend.
Yeah, we talked about the Warriors in the Nets winner, but they've blown double-digit leads in three straight games. So the Warriors, I would say, are in the mix. They did get the win against the Cavs, is that right? Is that how they beat? I don't know.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they got the win, but they still blew a huge lead. So, Yeah, weird stuff for the Warriors. Steve Kerr was calling them out after that game against the Nets last night because they're 23-24 right now. Losing games at home now, which is the problem, with Steph Curry back. So, yeah, Golden State, they're going to have to actually care a little bit more in the second half of the season here.
Yes, that's a good one. I was ready to call the Clippers a loser before they played the Mavs on Sunday, but they're making me eat a hat. They responded well. That was a Clippers win. Kawhi looking phenomenal, and the team supporting him. That's exactly what they signed up for. I was shocked because, you know, they're sort of the flip side of Minnesota. They've beaten bad teams. They're so good at beating the bad teams, and they stink against the decent teams. So I thought they were losing in that the pre-football game on Sunday, but they came through.
Mm-hmm. I was going to give one to Nick Nurse for the game against the Celtics. Raptors ended up winning, obviously, against the Knicks, so that helped. But he called a very questionable timeout when the Raptors had like a 4-on-3 fast break late. And Nick had no trust in them to, I guess, go get a shot. And it was like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, there were players down on the Boston Celtics. Raptors, again, were running. And he called the timeout. And in the end, they couldn't score. And it was a brutal, brutal ending. But and that was the Celtics missing. I mean, they had no Tatum. A bunch of players left the game on both sides. You know, Marcus Smart, Time Lord, OG left that one. There was no Van Vliet. So it was a weird game in terms of who was playing. But, yeah, Nick Nurse just gets a honorable mention, I guess, here for that one.
Didn't he also get hoodwinked by some referees? He was like trying to make a call on a play that was supposed to be challenged. He said, "Can I challenge that call?" They said, "Only if you call a timeout." Call the timeout. Then the other ref said, "Actually, you can't challenge that."
It's a jump ball. Yeah.
Actually, you can't challenge that. Okay, can I have my time back? Timeout back? No, sorry, you already called that.
Yeah.
Got to know the rules.
Yeah. Definitely a flashback. Game 5 of the 2019 Finals. Felt like it was over. Called a timeout when they were running. This is a good Clipper stat. I mentioned that they are good against the bad teams. They're 14-0 against the Spurs, Rockets, Lakers, Trailblazers, Pistons, and Hornets.
Wow.
And that means that they are, quick math, 11-24 against everybody else.
Holy, they
take care of business against the bad teams.
Well, good for them. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, pick 'em results and tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You got your third half coming up, right?
In a couple weeks?
You run a half marathon every weekend. I see the mile marker. Like, hold on.
Training.
Hold on.
Sucks,
I'm training,
man,
for something that this guy just ran on a Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I did Saturday this weekend, but yeah. 19 miles on Saturday.
19er.
Ooh, slow.
That's a lot of K.
Saw a lot of Atlanta. A lot of the Beltline. Mm. Even hit the oval there in Piedmont Park. Went around a couple times. Why? Why not?
Yeah.
Got to get those miles up.
Exactly.
One of my running takes is they should have a new name for the half marathon.
Okay.
I don't know what it would be, but it's called half. So like Tass is saying, it's like he's training for a half. You're doing more than that when you're training. It needs like its own prestigious name, like marathon.
Yeah.
What could it be? I don't know.
Okay. Well, got an idea? Let us know. Yeah, what should we be calling the half marathon?
I'm with you. It needs something.
The 13.1 miles. It's no joke. Hey?
Hey. I agree. I totally agree with you. When you're on the Beltline, a lot of people on the Beltline.
Oh, okay.
So what are you doing?
Dogs,
you're weaving?
Bikes.
You're weaving?
Yeah, you got to weave. Now, they added like the bumper.
You gotta weave.
They bumper to the Beltline?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's a different surface. So they did it almost, like, expand it. And you can run along that a lot of the times, and people, like, sort of stay off it.
They respect it.
Yeah.
Get off it.
But you surprise people, because they're always thinking people are passing on their left.
On the
left. Suddenly I'm ripping by on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Startle some people.
Any dogs jump at you?
No, dogs are pretty good that are on the Beltline. Got to be leashed. Although I saw one tiny dog was wearing like an AC/DC dress. Off leash, but this dog was so well behaved. It was like right by its owner. But they were playing music, like rock and roll music. They had a vibe. They had a look, this entire crew. Tiny dog.
Tiny dog, but a big AC/DC fan.
Huge. Pick 'em results Friday night. Grizzlies, Lakers, Memphis. They were favored by 6.5 points against LA. They were on an 11-game win streak. That's why I took them. I didn't know Unk was going to be there firing up the Lakers. Shannon Sharp got under their skin, and things fell apart. So I lost again. I'm 4-10. Win for Tass, 7-7. Win for Trey, 10-4 in January. What's tonight's game?
Well, a couple of our teams. Our Hawks are going to Chicago. Chicago favored by 1.5. Hawks have been playing well. Mm-hmm. They had won 5 in a row until that tough loss where Terry Rozier got a call he shouldn't have got, and they won on free throws at the end. So I'm taking the Hawks. You guys both got the Bulls to win by 2 or more at home.
Bulls are back.
That's what I heard. Les Bulls are back in French. That's a great line, though. 1.5 points. The Bulls lost to the Hawks on an AJ Griffin tip in their first matchup. 1-point win for Atlanta. The Bulls won their second game against the Hawks on that Io DeSumo game winner where they celebrated on top of John Collins. 2-point win for the Bulls. 1.5 feels right here.
Oh, so hopefully another game winner here.
Yep.
Between the Hawks and the Bulls. That's on tonight. We'll be talking about it on tomorrow's show. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Some WNBA flavor with Tweet of the Night. WNBA superstar Breanna Stewart tweeted about the team's fly commercial, if you're not clear with what's going on in the WNBA, and that has been a point of controversy for a while. And they are barred from flying private. Even the teams that can afford it are not allowed to. Hmm. Because it would be an unfair advantage for teams to fly private. Last year, the Liberty were fined $500K for chartering flights during the season. So, Breanna Stewart has been talking about it for a long time. A lot of people have been trying to talk about it for a long time. They haven't addressed it. So, free agent Breanna Stewart, she came out and she said, I would love to be part of a deal that helps subsidize charter travel for the entire WNBA. I would contribute my name, image and likeness, post-production hours to ensure we all travel in a way that prioritizes player health and safety, which ultimately results in a better product. Who's with me? The replies were coming fast and furious from a lot of WNBA players. Hand up emoji, hand up emoji, hand up emoji, hand up emoji. It's estimated, according to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, who did a great report on this, that it would cost $30 million to charter travel for all teams throughout the season. Okay. So the league has been trying to address it. They have been talking about it. It just hasn't gotten anywhere, so the players look like they're trying to take it upon themselves. And it's really at the forefront this coming year because Brittany Griner, who recently came back from Russia, you know, she was wrongfully imprisoned. They believe that she is going to fly private because of security concerns. Oh. Now, that's not entirely clear at this point, but if she flies private, will the Phoenix Mercury fly private? And then so that leads to a whole other issue. So just a very interesting story there. And Breanna Stewart looks like you know, trying to lead the way. And she is a free agent as well.
Oh, she's been tweeting a lot of emojis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, people are trying to decipher.
Cryptic.
Oh, a lot of cryptic emojis. Oh, yeah.
Of which team she's going to?
Well, I guess. I don't really know. I think so. Yeah. But there's been like, there's at least 4 or 5 different tweets, I believe, at this point, where it's a string of emojis that everybody's trying to crack the case.
Sometimes there'll be an equal sign in there.
Yeah.
Who knows? Liberty, Lynx, back to the storm. We shall see.
That's tough.
Changes are afoot in the WNBA. I saw Jonquel Jones is now on the Liberty as well. Mm-hmm. Candace Parker talking to the Las Vegas Aces. Please don't leave my sky, baby. But this is cool from Breanna Stewart. I like that she's putting her money where her mouth is, quite literally. Unfortunately, the stars of the league are having to subsidize travel for the entire league. That ain't right.
No.
The WNBA should figure out a way to be able to pay for their players to be able to fly privately, just like NBA players do. So hopefully her speaking out gets the ball rolling, something like that.
Yeah. Seems like the rich owners and the NBA may contribute. But even Joe Tsai, Nets owner has been talking about it for a couple of years. They are looking to find a way to make some sort of deal with airlines and get it done.
Right.
So $30 million sounds like a lot, but then you think about it, it's not a lot for these billionaires,
right,
depending on the situation. So hopefully it happens.
All right, before we go, any thoughts on the football action this weekend? What do you guys like going to the Super Bowl?
Ugh. Too bad about Josh Allen. Rough game at home.
Oh, Bengals crushed them.
Just quick, quick question. So the line—it was a snowy game in Buffalo.
Yep.
The lines are very clear, and so like it was the snow was coming down.
Yeah, it was like a wet snow. It looked like yeah.
But the lines up and down the field, you know, the yard markers essentially, you know, the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, they're all clear.
Yeah, they clear them like during.
Do they or are they heated? Because they're so nicely. I think they may be heated underneath.
I hadn't thought about that. Maybe
I said they're cleared.
And maybe Danielle said no. Dropped out there with they just. You know, a bunch of people go out with a shovel and go.
You go straight up. But yeah. Man, I don't know. So clear. Anyway,
one guy runs across at the perfect stripe.
Yeah, the perfect stripe, and then the numbers.
The numbers.
No, yeah,
the numbers is the
point.
Crazy part.
I need to
maybe
know.
They're heated.
I need to know. Anyways, they got. I was looking at that because the Bills were getting mashed. So Bengals look good. Burrow looks good.
Snow Burrow, they were calling him.
Yeah. That's good. Kofi came up with it, didn't he?
Yeah, that was good. That's a good one. Probably not going to be snowing for next week, unfortunately, for them. But I'm going Bengals Niners in the Super Bowl.
Oh, take it back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
89.
Yeah, maybe we'll see some clips of Boomer Esiason versus Joe Montana. Yeah. Icky Woods, Roger Craig in the backfields.
Sure. Jerry Rice, of course.
Yeah.
MVP of the 89
Jerry,
game.
Jerry Rice. Some say he's the GOAT. In the NFL. Yeah. I think it's Randy Moss, personally, but...
Well.
Yeah, he was so, there. Yeah. Big chain. Big chain for Jerry.
Big chain.
And so then... Okay, so yeah, 49ers-Eagles. That's the first game next week. And then it's Bengals and Chiefs.
Bengals-Chiefs.
How's Mahomes' ankle?
How's it didn't look good.
No, it didn't. My God, it's just hobbling around.
Yeah, and he missed like 10 minutes of playing. And they told him, hey, you're coming out. And he said, do not take me out of this game.
Yeah, he was pissed.
So... That was pretty cool to actually see. that was a sick injury, and then the guy comes back. But, man, what a game changer. Because he was carving him up out there before the ankle injury, looking like the best player in the league, which he is. He'll go down as the GOAT.
Hey, but what's his name came in? Anything is possible. Chad Henne.
Chad Henne?
He like, drove him down the field.
They scored. That was a clutch touchdown right there. No doubt about it. But, man, that guy was the quarterback for the University of Michigan before Laura and I started dating. So
who? Henne?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's old, eh?
He is old.
Yeah. No, you just made me think. I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
The Dolphin.
Yeah, came in.
He's been around. That Brock Purdy, that's a good story. He's Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick in the draft, and hasn't lost.
Hasn't lost.
Look at us. God, we know so much about
football, man.
Insane. I watched a lot of it.
Why don't they take a break so Mahomes can come back? They've got that extra week they do nothing with.
Oh, you want the... You want them to push change the break between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl and
so
move
Mahomes
it up?
Can play. Snow Burrow doesn't want to play against the backup, or he wants a healthy Mahomes on the other side.
Burrow's not afraid. He never loses to Mahomes.
Beat him last year.
Yeah.
I know. So get a healthy Mahomes. You're not afraid? There's 2 weeks.
I know the grand. I think afraid.
What tune is that?
I don't know.
I'm not afraid.
Oh, that one.
No. Is that an Eminem song? I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it is. Are you excited for Rihanna? Super Bowl halftime performance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rihanna's going to bring it. You know she's going to bring it.
You're damn right, man. 3 weeks from now, she's going to bring it.
The Grammys are in between, though.
Oh, my God, really?
They're in the break week, I guess.
Did the NFL, they literally took over Thursday nights from the NBA to the point where the NBA was like, well, better take it off TNT. We're afraid. Took over Christmas this year, obviously hammered them in the ratings. They have taken over All-Star Weekend.
Oh.
All-Star Weekend. All-Star Weekend used to always be Valentine's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the Super Bowl is now pushed back so far because they added another week in the regular season. Now it's just theirs. That's the weekend of the Super Bowl, the 12th or whatever.
Wow, that is late.
We'll take that too. So now the NBA is like, well, we got to push NBA All-Star Weekend back.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL just owns television.
I know.
There's no other way around it.
But when everybody's got nothing to do, like all the media is there for a whole week, the trade deadline plopped right in the middle of that week. The NBA trade deadline plopped in the middle of that week. They'll be turning on this show. because we'll be doing so many videos.
They're gonna be
on the
asking Brock Purdy, "Can you believe Jay Crowder got moved?
Exactly
at the deadline? What's your take?"
You see, Tyrese Halliburton and Brock Purdy, they're buddies.
I didn't know that.
Tyrese Halliburton and Brock Purdy were stars at Iowa State together.
Oh.
So I think Halliburton wore a Brock Purdy jersey over the weekend.
Cool.
Yeah, say anything you know about football right now. You got a few minutes?
Oh, I got something I hate about
here
football.
Here we go. Say it.
Hate this. I do not like when a wide receiver, let's say, catches the ball, and you see, obviously, on the field because of the broadcast, where he has to get to for the first down. Well, let's say get there, is still standing, right? Two defensive guys come in, hit the guy.
Crunch him,
push him back a yard or two, and they just go, well, he was there.
Mm.
When did this change in the NFL?
Forward progress?
I hate it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you want, go down. Go down at that line. But they, like, push them back. Like, obviously they get tackled, so the ball goes back a yard or two, but they're like, no, he was there. That's so weird to me. I don't get that.
It's definitely more blatant than it was
back
in the day. But basically, I think it's like you're getting tackled and giving yourself up a little bit, whereas if you try and fight it a little bit more, they'll be like, you're going back. Pushing back,
it's
way back.
Literally tackle football. Like,
hey, man, I know. They want the numbers.
Like, honestly, it's basically the equivalent of, like, just tag them then. Two-hand touch. Boom. Okay, he's there. Like, there's not much difference when you think about it.
It's not much difference when you think about it. Can't deny it. Can't deny it.
I don't like that. And for that reason, we don't do a football podcast.
What do you think about those catch rules?
Oh, don't get me started.
Don't even get this guy started. He doesn't like them, okay?
I hate them. God. Oh,
what's
man.
A catch? No one knows. What's a fumble? No one also knows.
I know a live show when I see one, though. Friday night, February 17th. From Salt Lake City. Get your tickets. Link available there in the comment section of this podcast, or of course in the YouTube section of this podcast, which is also just a video show. Two in one. It's the way to do it. Join us live. It'll be a blast there on February 17th at 8 p.m. from the Urban Lounge. Okay, what else? Go check out Is This Good? That is brand new. We are firing it up in mere minutes from now in each of our cars. Some of us Bluetooth connected, some of us not. Can't wait to hear Sam talk to Matteo and JD about a number of topics on Is This Good? Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Might hit the beach at some point this week. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. That's INC on the end. And that's about it. Oh, wow. Quick Photoshop work
amazing.
There. From our guy Jerome, we've got JD acting as Chuck Swirsky.
Well done.
And Eshwa there as the Mona Lisa. You know what? I would rather go see that painting in person.
Amazing.
That is great work there from our guy Jerome. All right. Fun show. Got a little off the rails at the end, but that's okay. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern here from the Classic Factory. We'll see you then. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, you know what Anthony Edwards would say every time he plays Magic Johnson in one-on-one. What? Cookies!
Brace the day, people. It's a second cookies reference to end the show.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.